Hello, hello, Tokyo. There we go. We're good now. Can I move that preacher? If you got your Bibles, you turn to the book. If you got your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter 33. My pastor, he's a big critic on that. You don't call Psalms a book, it's a Psalms. And if I say book, he'll hear it somehow, and I'll be in trouble when I get home, since my home church. And I don't want to be in trouble. How you're turning and trying to find your place, if you will stand for the reverence of God's Word, we'll read just briefly. My name is Weston. I'm always honored to have my wife Megan here with me and my son Titus. And that's not my daughter, that's my little cousin, that's my little sister. I'm an only child, so, you know, I have my little cousin here, and she's like my little sister, and that's Natalie. I'm glad to have her with her. We thank you, church, for having us. Pastor, thank you for having us. I sure do love you, Pastor. He's been good to me. And I'll tell you, it's just nice to come to a friendly church. My wife and I come in this morning not knowing anybody but the pastor, and I just had person after person shaking my hand, saying, hello, welcome, glad you're here, thanks for being here. And you just don't know how nice it is to come to a church where you don't know nobody and feel like you know everybody. It's a blessing, and I just want to say thank you, church. Thank you for being kind to us. Thank you for being good to us, and we just appreciate it. And I tell you this, I'm glad to have the Word of God to have in my hand today. I enjoyed my Sunday school lesson this morning, my brother Ford. Ford, I love Fords. I don't know, some of you Chevrolet fans may not like him, but I love Fords. And so I loved my Sunday school lesson. It was wonderful. We had a good time. And I'm just glad we can come and worship God in a place and not have to worry about persecution and not have to worry about my wife. She's from South Africa. And we work, do different things over there with her family. And her dad's a pastor over there. And they work through this thing called Voices of the Martyrs. And you would not believe the people that are in persecution. We're blessed to have this book that we hold in our hand. We actually just got back from Washington here a while back, and we went into the Bible Museum up there, and it's amazing. If you ever get a chance to go up there, I recommend it. But you go in there, and they have all these books. It's all Bibles on a shelf. It's just shelf after shelf of Bibles. And you see it. And if you can compare it, think about the choir here. This is the choir, and that's all the full translated Word of God they have. That's got from Genesis to Revelations, book to book, chapter to chapter, verse to verse. Right here is how much they have. And here's how much they have that's not even been touched yet in the world. Here's all the translations that have nothing, not one word of the Word of God do they have. They have absolutely nothing. So we are blessed, people. We are blessed, folks. Church, let's start reading in verse 8. I'm going to read one verse and we'll pray and then you can be seated. The Bible says in chapter 33, in verse 8, it says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Father, Lord, I love you today, God. And Lord, I pray you'd help me now, Father. Lord, calm my nerves. Lord, you know I'm nothing without you. I can't do anything without you, God. Lord, I thank you'd hide me from myself, God, and bind myself, Lord, and use me now, Father. Help me, God, in this time, Father. Let us honor and glorify you, Lord. And Lord, for somebody here lost, God, I pray, Lord, you start that conviction of their heart right now, God. Show them that they're lost, God, and save them before the day's over. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I started reading down the book in Psalms here, in Psalms 33 and 8, and I come across this verse, and that word awe stood out to me. Now, I'm country, so I'm going to spell it A-W-E. It's not awe. I may say awe here in a minute, but that's just because I'm from Yakin County. I can't talk good, okay? That's all it is. I may say awe, but I mean awe. But the Bible says awe, and I thought, what is awe? What does that mean? I mean, you know, I've heard people say it, and I know what it kind of what I understand what it means, but I really said, what is the Bible trying to tell me here when it says all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him? What was it doing? So I looked up the word, and the word awe means to strike with fear and reverence, to influence by fear, terror, respect, as His Majesty awed them into silence. That's what Webster's Dictionary 1828 edition says. I recommend that dictionary, by the way. And the Bible says, so it was with fear and reverence. And I'm thankful to serve a God that is worthy and merciful and powerful enough for me to stand in awe of. We can stand in awe of a God that is amazing. We can stand in an awe of a God that's there, that's real, that's literal. I heard the other night that if you could understand the fact that when you pray, you're not just praying out loud. There's literally a God in heaven who is hearing your prayers, church. He's up there. He's there. And when you know, it just blows my mind that when I kneel on my hands and knees and I start praying, I say, Lord, I need your help today. That prayer, it goes up. It hits the ceiling. It goes through the ceiling. It goes through the roof and up into the air and through the space. And it lands at the throne of God at His feet. And He bends His ear to my needs. Church, that's what we have that. That's the awe. That's the awe I get to stand in. But unfortunately, so many times we just go about and don't even think about fearing God. That word awe means fearing, and I got to studying that, and you know, it's like my mom and daddy. When I was growing up, I feared my mom and daddy, and I wasn't scared of them, but I feared them. I knew if I talked in church, I knew what was happening when I got home. I feared that, and I had reverence and respect for them because of that. And I just be honest with you, church, a lot of our young folks have lost the reverence and respect to the elder, to the parent, to the church head, to the pastor, to law enforcement. It's just going down the drain as quick as we can watch it. Let me tell you this right up front. This is the best country in the world, and I love my country. But I'm going to tell you some things in my introduction here that we're losing and we're messing up on here, and then we'll get into the shouting part. Is that all right? Y'all help me shout in this first part. We'll get on to the end now. We'll shout her out to glory. Then we'll go home. Go get something to eat. Amen. I know we're all Baptists. We all like to eat. Amen. So here we want to see, you know, like I just said, as a child, my parents taught me to respect them, and I feared my mom and dad. That's the fear that we should have towards God. We're not to walk around with fear of being scared of God. We're not to have that fear. And sometimes when I was younger, I'd hear fear, and I thought, why am I supposed to be scared of God? I'm not supposed to be scared of God. I'm supposed to have the fear of reverence and respect of God. Now, you can be scared of hell. You better believe you can be scared of hell. There is a place called hell and God's punishment, God's judgment. I am scared of God's judgment, but I don't have to be scared anymore because I got saved. And after I got saved, I never had to worry about God's judgment in that sense of the hell. And if you're sitting here and you're saved, you can sit here in confidence knowing that you never have to be scared of hell. If you're lost, though, let me tell you, if you're lost, you have to be scared of hell. But either way, we should have a fear of reverence and respect. As long as we do God's will, we have no worries, but we should know that if you don't, there will be consequences. We all know, just like I said a minute ago, if you disrespect your parents or disobey your parents, there was consequences. Right. You know, that might mean a broom. It might mean a big stick. It might mean, for my little cousin Natalie, her daddy was mean as a snake growing up, so I hear. He's mean as a snake now, so I figured he was when he was younger. And his babysitter, my grandparents, they got a big old willow tree out in their front yard. And she got so tired of getting up and whooping him all the time, she'd just sit there on that willow tree branch, and she could whoop-pah, and get him all the way across the room, you know. She didn't have to get up as much. And so if you disrespect God, if you disobey God, there are consequences. I believe your preacher was mentioning Sunday school. He just got through preaching on the judgment, on the two different judgment seats, the white throne judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. And where it's going to be, we're going to stand before God in judgment after we're saved on what we do. We are going to stand in judgment, but we're not going to be judged whether we go to hell or heaven. That was settled at Calvary. Amen. Hey, can I get an amen, church? Amen. It was settled at Calvary. One thing I want to tell you is I get so tired of the liberal mind of thinking that we just do whatever we want to do and it's okay because God loves us. Hey, I know God loves us. God loves us with His whole heart. But let me tell you something else about God. God's a God of wrath and a God of judgment. And I'm telling you where we're at in this country these days. Hey, you can't excuse what you do wrong because you say God loves you. If you stand in wrong of God, you can't say, well, God loves me, He'll forgive me. He will, but you'll answer for it. Christian friend, if you're a Christian and you're saved and you're born again and you go out and you get in sin, God will forgive you. But you will stand in judgment of that. Not a judgment of hell, but you will stand in judgment. And I just tell you, I'm getting somewhere. I promise I'm going somewhere, preacher. Just hang with me. Not only does God love us and mercy, but there's God's wrath and God's judgment. In today's busy world, I feel sometimes that we have lost the touch of being in awe. Sometimes I feel like I go into churches and it's just like, where's their awe?
Come on.
I mean, where is it? You go in, choir gets up, choir stands up, pianist plays, organist plays, they sing, they sit down, preacher stands up, he preaches, everybody goes home. Come as you are, leave as you are.
Come on.
I'm right, church, I'm preaching right here. I'm just telling you, come as you are, leave as you are. That's what I see, and I think, where did their awe? When do we get over the fact that the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When did we get over that? When did we wake up one morning and go, yeah, I believe that verse, but I just don't care about it much anymore. I got saved 40 years ago, or I got saved 2 years ago. When did we get over the fact that God sent His only Son and sacrificed Him for your sins and my sins? When did we get over that, church? When did we forget that God said, I love you so much, sir. I love you so much.
Amen,
I'm going to send my only begotten Son.
My goodness.
Preacher, when did we get over that fact? Church, when did we lose the fact and when the idea that God loved us so much that He killed His only Son? And not only did He kill Him, you know what I feel like? You know what I think hurt Jesus worse than dying? You know how bad they, everybody, I ain't going to go through all that, but you know how bad they beat Jesus. You know how bad they crushed that crown of thorns on Him. But you know what I think hurt Him the most of anything? When God turned His back on His only Son. From heaven, God said, oh, I can't look on Him no more. God turned His back on Him. Boy, don't you know that just quenched the Savior's spirit. It drove Him right to death, matter of fact. But He done that for you. When did we get over the fact, church, that God loves us? When did we lose the fact that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? Have we forgotten? Have we gotten over the fact that the awe that God's saving us from eternal hell? Not only does Jesus love us, but have we lost the fact that your feet will never see the fire because God loved you? You'll never feel 1 degree of heat from that flame. You'll never have to choke 1 time on smoke. You'll never have to die and be born again to just to survive hell over and over again. You say, well, that's how so I believe it's going to happen. I believe you're going to drop off an eternity of hell and you're going to be there. And you're slowly going to die. And every time you die, you're going to come right back to and you're going to be over and over again for the rest of eternity. Church, that's where we're going to stand. But you know what, Christian friend? Christian brother, Christian sister, you'll never have to feel that. Amen. If you're sitting here saved, ma'am, you'll never have to worry about that. Amen. You'll never have to feel it. Have we got over that fact? Where's our awe at? Where's our awe? Have we forgotten that it's the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You know, when we read this Bible, so don't read it like it's a storybook. It ain't a storybook. It's a living book. Amen. It's God's holy word. It's not, have we forgotten about it? It's the same God that brought the Israelites from the plagues of Egypt and parted the Red Sea for Moses and they crossed over. Have we forgotten over the fact that in the awe that God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, it's the same God. Amen. Boys and girls, it's the same God.
Right.
Have we forgot over the fact and we lost the awe that it was the same God that stood with Daniel in the lion's den?
Come on.
Let me tell you something. I just got back from Africa and I tell this about every church because I think it's the coolest thing in the world. And I'm going to tell it to y'all. When I went to Africa, we went on a safari. Because, of course, I've never been to Africa and I'm going to go on safari if I've traveled that far. So they take us on this little truck and we go down through here and we're walking down this little pathway about wide enough for one person and there's some chicken wire. Y'all know what chicken wire is? Y'all in Wilkes County, y'all know what chicken wire is. There's chicken wire standing on here. And I go, well, where's the lions at? He said, well, they're in there. And I'm thinking, okay, they're in there and then, you know, we got to go through that gate and to the next gate and whatever. And we keep walking all of a sudden I see this big lion just laying there. And the only thing between me and him is chicken wire. And I thought, boy, I hope he's not hungry. Because I've been told all my life I got chicken legs, and I don't really feel like going after that. I don't believe I could outrun him. But they are massive. I mean, his paw was the size of my head. They're massive animals. Big old teeth on them scared me to death. But anyway, that's what Daniel was in. And you know what God told him lies to do? He said, he don't look good. Just sit right there and be quiet. And Daniel just sat there the whole time, didn't worry about a thing. He had to have we got over the fact. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego down there in the fiery furnace. Don't you know that would have been scary? Standing there facing fire, and yet they stood with God. You know why? Because they had that awe. They'd seen God. They believed in God. They knew God. And when you're standing in that awe of God, it's hard to get away from Him. You say, preacher, I can't stop sinning. Preacher, I can't get away from this sin. If you'd find the awe of God, you wouldn't have to worry about that sin no more, sinner. If you'd be, it's hard to sin, brother. It's hard to have impure thoughts when all your thoughts are just consumed to God. Friend, it's hard to drink that alcohol when your thoughts are just consumed to God. Brother, it's hard to go out with your friends. And listen, I'm in law enforcement too. That's what I do for my full time job until I get what I need to go into ministry full time. And hey, listen, law enforcement officers are the best people in the world. They go out here and they serve a community and work hard, but that don't mean they're Christians, and that don't mean they're saved. And I love every one of them. But that don't mean they can't be wicked in God's eyes.
Oh, yes.
Now, they're good for this community, so don't take what I'm saying wrong. But that don't mean they can't be wicked in God's eyes.
Right.
And when you stand with them, it's hard to do that when you're just surrounded by the awe of God. If you just stay in it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If we're not careful, church, we're going to lose the awe And when we lose it, we're going to risk a few things real quick. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to move right in the mission. And I'll be done. We lose it. We risk dead church services. We risk having them. If you lose the awe, we risk having them. No, not come as you are, like I just said. You come to church service and see Christ in the service and not some dead, nothing happening service. You want to come to church and see God, right? I got filled up this morning in Sunday school class. I was about ready to take a lap in Sunday school class this morning, much less when the choir started singing. Hey, that's what you come to church for. And if you lose the awe, you lose the church service. You can lose the callings in your life. Well, may have no meaning. If you, preacher, if we lose the awe, it won't mean nothing for you standing behind that pulpit. If I lose the awe, it won't mean nothing for me going out here and handing out my prayer card saying, wanting to rescue these kids from school that have nothing. Hey, if we lose the cause, we'll lose the country. We'll lose its passion. You know, we started with a country, one nation, under God, indivisible. That's where this country was founded, on your founding fathers. They believed in God. Right. If you don't believe it, study your history. You think I'm lying, study your history. You'll see that God's people founded this country. And we're slowly letting people take the passion away. Our convictions will fall by the wayside. My brother here talked about convictions this morning in Sunday school. You know, each person has their own personal convictions. I stand on this. You know, brother, you may have convictions I don't have. I may have convictions you don't. And we stand on it. But if we lose the awe of God, we'll lose our convictions. And where we stand, we lose our convictions. Now, I'm not preaching on this, but this says authorized King James Version. That's the book. I'm going to leave that alone, preacher. Go on. Next one is our calls. Our calls will be lost. What's our calls? Our commission. Go out here and reach people. How are you going to reach people if you ain't got the awe? Brother preached this morning about seeing God in your life. You know, to some people, you're the only Bible they'll ever read, church. You're the only Bible they're ever going to see. This many languages don't even have it in there. They don't have nothing to read. If you don't go show it to them in your own life, living it day in and day out, how are they ever going to see it? If we worship our churches, we worry about our callings, our country, our conviction, our causes. But I want to give you three things, and we'll be out of here. Three things that we can shout about, we can still stand in awe of because we're Christians. There's three things the Bible points out right here in these verses that we can still stand in awe. First off, we can stand in awe because He's the Creator. The Bible says in verse 6 of Psalms 33, by the word of the Lord were the heaven made and all host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake it as it was done. He commanded it and it stood fast. We can stand in awe because God created everything in this world. He created the stars in the sky, the moon, the sun, the grass, the oceans, the food on your table, the water you drink. He created you and He created me. Amen. He created everything you see in front of you. You say, well, He didn't create that pew. He created the man who made that pew. So He done that in my book. He's created everything. If you don't believe God's real, walk outside. Go outside on a mountaintop somewhere and just stand over the beauty. Nothing can create that but God. I'm just here to tell you, God's created all. I get so sick and tired of listening to the garbage about some Big Bang theory brought this world into existence, how I evolved from some monkey. I might look like a monkey, but I didn't come from one. I can tell you that, amen. I'm so tired of the liberal side trying to ruin my kids, ruin your kids, and trying to poison their mind with some kind of junk that ain't real, that's some kind of science, myth, faith. Hey, let me tell you, it's God that created it. I get a little stirred up about that. I'm sorry. But I'm just telling you, I'm sick and tired of it. It's time, Christians, that we find our awe. We can stand in awe because He's the Creator. We can stand in awe because He made you and me. And it's time we take a stand as a Christian faith and we say, bless God, come hell or high water, I'm going to stand with God because He's the Creator. Amen. I get so sick of it. Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. He'll say nothing about it, a big thing theory. I believe for a little 6 days He created the earth. He rested on the seventh. Sometimes I hear Christians try to entertain the thought of how evolution and creation can go hand in hand. That's not how it works, sinner friend. That's just the same as putting any other sin in with God and mixing them in between. That's not how it works. God created it. He used whatever He used, but the Bible tells you how He created. He created you out of the dust, me out of the dust, made the land, the seas, the moon, the stars, the day, the night. He done it all in 6 days. He done it all. But I can't. But it can't, Christian friend. You're either standing all of God or you're standing all of the world. We have to figure it out where we're standing in awe. We can either love God, we can serve God, we can get on this front pew and shout the house down. Boys and girls, young adults, we can stand in this choir and we can sing till our lungs pop. Preacher, you can preach till you fall over and pass out from blue in the face. But if we don't stand in awe of God, we'll lose every bit of that. Wasn't these kids a blessing this morning? Wasn't it a blessing to see a little girl standing here with a tear swelling up in her eyes and her hand in the air worshiping God? Better not some dope house down here on the corner. Hey, that's what we need if we want to save this country. But we can worship. We can stand in awe because He's the Creator. We can also stand in awe because He's of His counsel. Thank God for His counsel. What would we be in our world without His counsel, His book? The Bible says in verse 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the vices of the people of none effect. What He says right there in the heathen to naught, that's bringing your sins to judgment. That's what He's talking about, bringing the counsel of the heathen to naught. He's bringing their sins to judgment right there. He maketh the devices of the people none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever in the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, and the people in whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. And He says it all right there, friend. God's counsel will never fade away. We always have God. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Y'all get that, folks? He said He would never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's never going anywhere. He'll be right there with you the whole time. When's the last time we were able to stand in awe of God's cause? He answered a prayer that we've been praying for. When's the last time you've been begging God for something and seen God working right out in your life? When's the last time you prayed about an issue in your life instead of just trying to fix it? When's the last time you got the time you got God awed you because of that sinner you had been praying for so long and finally accepted Jesus? When's the last time you've been inviting somebody to church for so long and finally they come and the preacher Hall gets up here and he preaches a house down? God convicts her heart, brings her down here, saves her soul. And you can just stand in awe of amazement because that person was so in sin, so lost, so out there, that God just awed you with amazement. Wow, God. Wow, God. Bible says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent. We got it to counsel through His Word, through His prayer, through our prayer life, but through His Word. When was the last time we were reading the Bible and we just were so overwhelmed that what God had done for you that you stood in awe of Him? You know, sometimes I'm just going to be honest with you. I learned something this morning in Sunday school class. I'd read 1,000 times and never understood it, never actually just clicked onto it. Genesis 4, it says that Cain was going to be put in charge of Abel if he'd done right. I have read that 100 times and never just took the time to go, wow, Cain was going to be put in charge of Abel. Brother, Sunday school class, just, when's the last time God awed you? Like, wow. I'm getting somewhere. Here we go. Verse 12, God says, blessed is the nation who makes Him the Lord. We have come a long way in this nation from one nation under God. I heard this once. It's something like this. If we forever forget that we're one nation under God, we'll be one nation gone under. That's the truth, folks. If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, we'll be one nation gone under. And we will be. If you go back in your history, if you go back in your Bible, and you read that Bible, and you see how things, events take out, God destroys and sends judgment on the nation after nation after nation, but not before sin entered that nation. You never see a nation destroying that Bible that was in there every day worshiping God, living like God said to live, doing what God said to do, coming to church on Sunday morning, putting your tithes in, going, oh, I won't plug in there, but I'll keep on going, keep on doing all the stuff. And when you see that, you don't see the nation destroyed. But when you see homosexuality and abortions and pornography and alcohol and drugs, when you see that starting to infest into the cities and the nations, the next thing you see in that Bible is God's hand of judgment on that nation. I'm telling you, read your Bible, you'll see. We must learn to stand for what is right, even if it's politically incorrect. I ain't trying to hurt nobody's feelings. But I'm going to stand what that book says, whether it hurts your feelings or not. Now, I ain't trying to be mean and I ain't trying to be ugly. But that book's what governs my life. And I'm going to stand on the book. And if we as Christians would decide, hey, I am going to stand. I'm going to let this book on me. I'm going to let God on me. I'm going to stand on something that means what's right. If we do that, church, you'd be amazed what we could do. How many people's in here? What was that? 270, something like that? 270 people. What about if every one of us walked out of this church right now so filled with God, every person we street was like, what's happened over there at Calvary? Did y'all see them come out? Brother Hall must have preached a house fire on fire today. What if we come out like that? When is the last time we've come out like that? I know it sounds silly in your minds because we got flesh on us. And you know this old flesh don't want you to do anything for God. The devil fights you. You know, I'm sitting on the pew and the devil's trying to fight me, saying, you know, trying to tell me things in my mind that's crazy stuff. That's just the devil being on you. But what about if we come out of this church just so on fire for God? We go down to the steakhouse.
Come on, brother.
And the people at the steakhouse are going, what's wrong with them? I'm okay. Hey, you all right, church? Everybody okay?
Amen.
What about if that happens? If what about if they got odd at God because you so odd they got odd? I'm going to be tongue-twisted for sure in a minute. What about if you're so odd of God, if you're so tuned in with God, if you're so filled with the Spirit of God that somebody gets odd about God because of you?
Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah. That's right.
Amen.
What about if that happened?
Amen.
We can stand because of His counsel. We can stand because of His Creator, because He's the Creator. But lastly, I can stand in awe because of the cross and the Christ. Verses 18 says this, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for a place called Calvary.
Amen.
Thank God for a Christ that was willing. Thank God for a cross that was bearing. I wouldn't want Jesus to go through suffering. But I can tell you the only way we go to heaven is through Jesus. And I'm thankful He was willing to go hang on a cross for my sins. I don't deserve Him. And if you're sitting there and you think you deserve Him, you're missing it, folks. You don't deserve Him. You know what I deserve? I say it all the time, and sometimes it's kind of like being odd. Sometimes you say things so much, you don't really think about what you're saying. But this is the truth. I deserve this right here. I deserve to be in hell with my back broke, suffering everything God's got, wrath is God. Well, that's what we all deserve. That's what we all deserve. We all deserve hell. We all deserve hell. But thank God for a man named Jesus. That come and born, was born, He was the man God. He was the only man that can live without no sin in His life. He was the only man who could sit on the cross and bleed every drop of blood He's got out before He ever died. He's the only man who could have took the pain. He's the only man who could have took the torment. He's the only one. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the King of kings and He's the Lord of lords. He is the only one. Church, we must not forget what Jesus did for you and me. Because this was to avoid the judgment of God and the subject of hell. See, a friend, if you're sitting here today and you do not understand, if you didn't understand that God was the creator of everything, and you have never had His counsel in your life, if you're sitting here in this church right now and you're going, that dude's crazy up there. If you're sitting here right now and that's going through your mind, now you might have been smiling the whole time and I can't tell. You might have just said, But in your mind, you're thinking, I don't have a clue what He's talking about. Who is this God He's talking about that created everything? They told me in science book that this world's been around for billions of years. What's He talking? He's crazy. Or, I don't know about this council stuff you're talking about. I've never really read this book, but it can't be that good. Or, I've never really got down and prayed to this guy God He's talking about. I don't know what God is or who God is or this man named Jesus. So who's that guy? If you're sitting there like that right now, my friend, then I beg you, Come and stand in awe before God before it's too late.
Amen.
You know, you will stand in awe. Doesn't matter if you're saved or not. One day you'll either be going to, you're either going to die or Jesus is going to return. And that day, saved or lost, you will stand in awe. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's going to be true, sinner friend. You're going to stand in awe of God. One day you're going to be, either Christ is going to return or you're going to slip out of this world. And when you open your eyes, you're either going to stand in awe of God because you're going to see the magnificent heaven that God's created. And you're going to be around the throne room of God and you're going to think, oh man, what an awesome God you are. Or you're going to open your eyes and lift your eyes open in hell like that rich man over there with Lazarus. And you're going to think, oh man, what have I done? That crazy preacher man was right. There is a place called hell. Best thing I can think about is over there in Noah. God sent His judgment. Over there in Genesis when Noah's happening, God sent His judgment on the people. And He told Noah, build ark, build ark, build ark. So Noah says, Noah, being a good God-fearing man, he hammers on that ark. Day after day, he builds that ark and it gets big and it gets huge. And it gets big and those people come by and they laughed at him. Noah, it ain't never rained. It ain't going to rain today, tomorrow, anytime, any every time after this. You're crazy. You're just some old Baptist crazy preacher man preaching about God's judgment that ain't never going to come. You're crazy, Noah. Noah just keeps hammering away, building that ark. Church, we just keep preaching away. Church, we just keep handing out that tract.
Amen.
Church, we just keep witnessing. Noah just keeps building. And all these animals come. I bet them people thought, how do you do that? Here come these animals, two by two, walking in. Seven of the clean, two by two of the unclean, here they come. Filing in the door. One right after another. Noah's over there directing traffic, probably like elephants this way, snakes that way. He's bringing them in one by one. As people thinking, he has lost his mind. That preacher over there, Brother Hall, he's lost his mind. He's preaching that God's going to send me to hell. God loves me. He won't send me to hell. I ain't got to do nothing for Him, though, but He'll do it all for me. I don't ever have to say He's the King of Kings. I never have to accept Him as my Savior. He'll just save me because I'm good enough. And here they come. Then that day comes. God says, Noah, get in the ark. Noah goes in the ark. Door stays open. Noah goes in the ark. Noah's in there for days and time. Waiting, hoping, praying, begging God, let somebody come with me, God. Save somebody. But nobody comes. And guess what happens? God shuts the door. Not Noah, God. Because Noah would have opened the door for somebody. Because what comes after that? Here comes a raindrop. You be that brother out there in the field, all of a sudden, what was that? Something hit him on the head? Whoa, that's enough. Water's falling out of the sky. Now listen, folks, at this time, water ain't never fell out the sky. I'd be like, we stand outside and ducks started falling out of the sky. We'd be nervous too. We'd be scared to death. So here comes water. I bet that old, I can just see that old fella comes by Noah's ark. He's like, hey, Noah, you in there? You was right. It is raining. You ain't going to believe that. He just walks on by and goes on by this day. Sometime later, he comes swooshing in. Right up to his knees now. Hey, Noah! Hey, Noah, you in there? I think you's right, Noah. Let me in. It's getting kind of deep out here. Noah! Noah! Noah don't answer. Few days, hours later, he comes swimming in, holding his baby on his arm. Noah! Noah! I can't stand up no more. My baby's going to drown. Noah! Noah! No! No! Nothing but rain falling. God's judgment's taking place at that point. Everybody, every man, every woman, every beast, but what's on that ark is dead at this point. They've all drowned. God's judgment is as real then. Is it will be, sinner friend, if you walk out of this church lost without God. You might walk out and you might live 20 years from now. You might walk out and live 20 seconds. Either way, lost or saved, you'll die and go to eternity of hell. Every person in the world went to hell that day. besides Noah, his wife, Ham, Shem. If you walk out of this church today lost in a friend, you won't have the joy in my heart like I have in mine. You won't have the joy like the pastor's got in his heart. You'll be lost. You won't ever get his counsel. You won't ever stand as the Creator until that final day of judgment. Preacher, is it okay if somebody comes to the piano?